Holy guacamole, here it is, another backpack show. I am so excited. We decided to do all our conversations around leaves today.
I really like sweet things, so I'm pretty excited about this one.
So, I forgot to ask. I hope it's Harnois, but I'll get
Harnois.
Harnois. Marie Harnois and also Vanessa. Harnois from Passamaquoddy Maple. And I can't wait. Look, a guy from Maine, I finally get to say Passamaquoddy.
You were so proud. I was so afraid to let you say it first. I really wanted to hear them say it.
The hemp historian, Matthew Harmon himself. So we have a Harnois and a Harmon. Matthew is going to teach us all about the history of hemp, evidently. So we're going to learn about old hemp, hemp through the years. We'll ask questions about the old first hemp steam hemp engine, how it is to make traditional clothes out of hemp. Did Betsy Ross really put hemp in the American flag? Matthew probably knows. I don't even know what he knows or doesn't know about that, but I'm just going to set him up like that. So we're going to learn all the things on the backpack show.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Kerry Gargone. Boom shakalaka.
Bonsoir.
So bonsoir. Comment ça va? Ça va bien et tout? We went to the people. We got them out of their rooms. We got them to come over to the show. But we forgot to mention that very important sponsor.
Guests of the show stay at the inconveniently located from downtown or anywhere, never to be confused with luxurious and never updated FDR Hotel, located somewhere off Highway 84 near an old gas station with a burned out van parked out front with a for sale sign.
Putting the F in accommodations.
We do. We're lucky to have a lot of sponsors on this show, so we have to sneak in some of the reads at different times.
I want to talk about syrup.
I want to get into
and
some
maple
syrup
things
and hemp. Yes. The world's going to change. The world, the cannabinoid system. No one even knew there was a system.
You know how they say, don't shop hungry? You shouldn't book hungry either, but I always do. I that's how we got that's how maple we got the chocolatier.
So much stuff.
I've booked many great guests whilst hungry.
I booked many great sponsors. Look, Badass Water. They're a sponsor, badasswatercompany.com. It's like water, but this one's badass. I don't even know what that means.
Why don't you go to badasswatercompany.com, Christopher?
No, I want to buy it, but I don't know if I want to drink ass water.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I'm awfully uncertain about this.
Stop it. They're a sponsor. Uh-oh. You will drink it.
I'm drinking it right now. This is ass.
Yellow card, Brogan. Yeah, I'm about to cut your mic off.
Oh, so early in the show.
How did I get it so quick? All right, let's get Marie and Vanessa out here. They've got to save
us. We need some grown-ups.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to go. Matthew, which, by the way, means you get 12 extra minutes. So, you're going to run pee or throw a burger on. You can do it. We'll be right back.
Marie, we'll be right. You're not going anywhere. We're staying here.
You can go somewhere. Oh, Marie and Vanessa, welcome to the show. Thanks for saying yes and coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Well, I know you've been on a lot of shows talking about maple products, but you haven't been on this one yet. So I'm born and raised in Maine. You're a little bit more north and a little more west than us by Jackman area. What makes this the product? What makes this the one that you've got to make? And how do you make this into the full-blown business that you have out there at Passamaquoddy Maple?
Well, it starts... The Passamaquoddy tribe owns quite a bit of land up in the Jackman area, and a big chunk of it is majority sugar maple. So being in Somerset County as the number one producer of maple syrup, the tribe decided to get into making syrup. It's in our roots. Our people have made it for generations, and I feel very fortunate enough that we are able to bring a tribal product to market.
Kind of the traditional
pretty successful
way.
At it.
Do you do it the traditional way? Is that something that you brought forward, the way that you sugar?
No, we are a commercial sugar house. We have tubings, vacuum system. So we practice very efficient. We are organically certified also.
I want to see it. I want to see it on your Instagram, all the workings.
Oh yeah, I've got to dig up your Instagram while we're talking. But when you say that about tubing and vacuuming, that's a new piece to me. So I've seen it where I've seen the reasonably modern systems, but does that mean you like just suck it right out of the tree? Is that what's going on in that experience?
Yeah, basically. Huh. Yeah, the tubes, when we tap the trees, we connect all the tubing together. Our vacuum systems are on so that it flows right into our sugar house. So there's no buckets to collect.
And is it still at the same time of year? Like, I mean, that part doesn't change. Or can you, like, suck the hell out of these trees all year long?
No. The season varies from year to year. It can be anywhere from 3 weeks to 6 weeks.
Okay.
Mother Nature plays the biggest part on that. We need the perfect temperatures.
So it's you know, like regular old mapling and sugaring and whatnot, kind of like February-ish sometimes and that sort of a thing.
3 to 6 weeks. Wow, that's fast. Like, you got to get right in there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And the tubing is a lot more efficient. There's less waste. It keeps the pressure on the trees to produce.
One last question about just kind of the mechanics of it, and then we can ask lots of other questions, is that what is that yield like then in general? I know it's, what, 40 parts to one or something like that?
It is 40 parts to one. Yes. Depending on the sugar content of your sap that's coming in, mm-hmm. it can go as high as 47, 48 to one. And I've actually had it go down to 36, 37 at times when the sugar content's at its highest.
Wow. Oh, Carol has a question that I remember doing this before back in the way old days. Snow taffy. You've done that sort of thing, right? You lay out the little block.
She's saying, is snow taffy a Canadian thing, or do you do it too?
A lot of the sugar houses do that here. We've done it here just more for like when the kids come up to visit.
For the kids, yeah.
Stuff like that. But it is a thing.
That's impressive.
You're going to get your syrup to a very certain temperature and be able to pour it over and can roll it right up.
So what's like the ideal conditions? Like at what point are you like, yes, we are going to have the best possible like maple season ever?
38 degrees during the day and about 27 during the night.
You have to suffer for your art.
Get used to it.
Yeah. This season was a little bit different for us. We had some really warm spells. In March, we had 60 degree days. I don't think I've ever made maple syrup in t-shirt and sneakers. I'm usually wearing a sweatshirt, boots, but it was so warm, it was t-shirt. So, but I've also made syrup when it's been extremely cold and we got 3 feet of snow falling.
Does it taste different?
I find the taste starts very light in the beginning of the season. As the season progresses and it gets a little bit warmer, the syrup will actually darken and it will get more of a maple flavor.
So we have a bunch of questions. One of the things I want to show you before anybody gets, so like, here's all this time you've been like, whatever, maple syrup, whatever, fine. I can resist. You're not going to resist this. Look at this. Maple pepper. Maple pepper. You have maple mixed in with pepper, with garlic or habanero, or just the original flavor. And I can't see the other one because the camera's in the way.
Rosemary.
Rosemary.
That's another great main company that we work with.
Okay, so you mix and match between those two things to make that.
The company is Highland Foods, and they actually are the producers of that. So it's maple sugar with pepper, sea salt, other flavorings.
Come on.
We're partnered with a lot of different companies. One of the recent ones that we just did was Red Camper out of Denver, Colorado. We are their sweetener for their cranberry compost.
Wow. That's impressive, too.
People are very excited. They're very pro maple syrup.
They're all into this.
Kate wants to know, what company is
your... It's 100% natural. We're organically certified. We're not using any chemicals in our cleaning. So we know we have to stay on top of everything. You're not getting the fake sugars. It's lower on the glycemic index.
It's better for your gut health now that people care about gut health.
Right? Yeah, and it's natural.
Apparently, it's a problem with keto. If you're on keto, you don't get to have it. It's very upsetting for Kip and other people.
It's a great substitute. And it's, you know, we're trying to move it beyond breakfast. because a lot of people think of maple syrup. All right, put it on your pancakes, put it on your waffles. Delicious. Can't complain. Use it as a marinade. Marinate your salmon in it. When you grill it, it will create an amazing caramelized sauce with your salmon. As you've seen, we did a glazed kielbasa that was delicious.
Yeah, glazed kielbasa. Yeah, that's what I was going to point out.
Will was right in Elf. He's like, syrup goes on everything.
Everything covers.
That looks so good.
Pie. Use it as a sweetener for your apple pies. It adds a very unique taste to it that is just amazing. It is delicious. And that's where the maple sugars come in.
So you it's can not use just maple syrup.
Instead of the white cane sugar.
Maple sugars, too. So we had one question. What company is your biggest customer? Like, do you sell only to individuals or do you sell to companies as well?
No, we sell, we have a lot of wholesale accounts. I think, would you say Moosehead Marketplace right now?
I would say Moosehead Marketplace.
Moosehead Marketplace, which is another online store, uses our products in a lot of their gift baskets.
So we can get some. And Kim wants to know that he says maple flavoring is very popular in Japan. Do you serve that market as well?
We recently opened up international and we are starting to ship worldwide. I think out of everywhere we've shipped, the most exciting order I ever seen come in was when we shipped our maple syrup to Quebec. Oh,
That's big.
So, you know, that was like, oh, wow, they're buying our syrup in Quebec.
Carol, are you going to let that stand? Go get some. She's in Montreal. So a little friendly rivalry. See if we can get Carol to get some of your syrup, too.
Yeah. So
I want some.
We do have quite a few wholesales. We're actually growing our wholesale market. I mean, our main focus is our retail, our online store. And we're always looking to add different products. Work with other companies to create products. And one of the products that we worked with was one of our pancake mixes, which is our...
So it has the maple like in
maple,
it.
Maple, buttermilk, pancake, and waffle mix. I'm trying to guess.
Oh, now that's a time saver right there.
Yes. And it is absolutely delicious. And it's another main company that we work with. And we just drop off our maple sugar to go into this product.
I want some. So can I get it in Nashville, Tennessee?
Oh, yeah, you can. We'll ship anywhere. We'll ship
anywhere.
Yes.
Nice. So
that's why I do the booking.
That's why you make this show. One of the things we you know, I'm thinking about as we're talking about this is that do you, as also representing Passamaquoddy Nation, is some of this, some of that? Like, if people come to your retail experience, do they get to learn a little bit about tribal background? Do they get to learn about where you're heading in the future? Do they get to learn about, you know, any of that? Or is it just get that sugar and get out? Thanks for your money.
No.
Okay.
I think one of the things, when we first started, we used to do a lot of, pre-COVID, we'd do a lot of fairs, shows, different things like that, just to try to get our name out. We're brand new to the market. You know, we had to let people know. And one of the biggest things that we heard a lot of was when they saw the name, if they didn't know us as a people, they associated us with Pete's Dragon. So
the movie Pete's Dragon.
Right. I mean, I remember the film, but I haven't seen it since I was like...
They tell a legend in the beginning about the Passamaquoddy people. So that's...
And the lands.
And we always get, you guys really exist? And it's like, oh yes, quite a few of us.
Is it an okay legend though, or is it insulting? Because some of that early Disney stuff is like a little dicey.
Actually, I don't think it was.
I don't think it was. It's been a while since I've actually read the book. But it also gives us a chance to talk to them, you know, and let them know who we are. You know, who we are as a people, and we try to incorporate our culture and our language in our marketing, also on our labels. And it's just nice to get out and meet so many different people that have never had the opportunity to meet us or to know about our people, you know, that we've been here, we're still here, and they like to hear that those things, and they like that connection.
The language is it I'm going to say it wrong, aren't I? It's like Maliseet and Passamaquoddy. Am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, we have, there is a Maliseet Passamaquoddy dictionary. Our language is similar, but there is some differences.
Are you doing, are there projects involving that to kind of keep the language alive going forward? Okay.
Yeah. We do have, and I do, I'm not sure this is all pre-COVID, but they did start an immersion school and they were starting with the 3-year-olds, I do believe. So, and there is bilingual taught in our school system so that our children know.
Well, believe me, 3-year-olds will repeat anything.
Oh, yes.
So.
Well, they pick up on a lot of things.
That's the time to start. We have a lot of questions. So can you get this in retail stores as well?
Yes, we are. We have wholesalers from California, Florida, of course, Maine. So it depends where they're at.
New York.
Maybe. New York, yes. Yep.
Yeah. And how many members?
You cut the middleman out and just buy it on the website.
Yes. And how many members of your family work with you?
Just my daughter.
How did you know syrup was right for you, Vanessa? Were you like, this is what I want to do?
Well, it was
quite a few
things came into play with that. One, I was impressed by the whole gathering it from trees and cooking everything down. And it was an amazing product. And I think that all people should try it. It's wholesome. It's good. And when you put out something that is that great, you kind of want to be involved and like, hey, let's make this bigger, bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's a product that I stand behind 100% and love what I do, making people happy.
Was there something that you were like, no way is this going to work, Maple, and it totally works?
I think we all had those moments where it's like, oh my goodness, like what did we get ourselves into? But in the end, it,
I mean, like mixing it together, like if you were like, hey, you know, it should be maple, bacon, and people were like, yeah, or something, and people were like, come on. Then when you tried it, it was like unbelievably good.
Oh, yes. Yes. I like to cook. I have children. So it's always like, oh, let's try this and see if the kids like it. And, you know, and that kind of really pushed, oh, we can put it on this, that, like Marie was saying, is it's not just a breakfast food anymore. In our house, it's something that we use on a regular to cook with and replace with white sugar as well.
Maple spaghetti.
Yeah, maple spaghetti.
It's good on everything.
Yeah.
No, the reason I asked about the language, too, is we had the great pleasure of talking to two different First Nation rappers, Tall Paul from the Ojibwe tribe, and I'm going to forget
JB the First Lady.
JB the First Lady, and I don't remember what tribe. And so they were doing something where they brought, you know, people's interest back to the language by mixing it with hip-hop and English. So I'll give you a little bite. I'll give you a little bit of Tall Paul for a second.
Wrong and who had wronged me, gotta treat them like family. Get your money, dude, we do cowboy shit. Jim Mushka with Sian, me Dutch for me, it is Sian. Me Shishanam, Zagit, you white when Ganoo, Shishanam, it's a dad with Shanam, me one, Janukam of Yan.
So that's Ojibwe. He's also like a financial planner kind of a guy. He's got a lot of sticks in the fire, let's say. He doesn't make maple syrup, though.
Nope. Afraid not. And I really want some maple syrup now.
We'll have to get you out a package, Carrie. Yes.
This is what I do the booking for. It's the whole reason.
But I just want to clarify because I feel like I know this and I can order it from PassamaquoddyMaple.com, right? I could just get it shipped to me. Okay. Good to know. People of Earth in this room, you can get it shipped to you. Listen, if you can, stick around. We're going to come back to you and ask you a couple questions at the end of the show. But if you got to run off, it's okay either way. But thank you so much for coming on and being part of the show with us.
Thank you for having us.
Stay if you can.
Questions if you can. All right, you never know. Boop. I booped them backstage.
Yay. I love food shows.
Do two or three more sponsors. If you don't like our faces, get our podcast. It's anywhere you can hear a podcast. Castos is the host, so get some Castos. Hey, do you want a .online account?
Hey.
You can have one. Hey, you can have one. seabroga.me/online. You can get one for $1. You could have hemp.online.
Maple.online.
Maple.online, maybe. I want to make a show like this only better. seabrogan.me/StreamYard.
Come on now.
You could. I mean,
get your own maple syrup business.
That's right.
Well, maple everything business, I guess.
One thing you might not know is I don't research anything, but I can just look up stuff by doing pre-search. Research.com is a search engine replacement without all that googly badness. If you're a little grumpy about Google, or if you don't want them owning everything you've ever looked at, go to pre-search.com, the only search engine that pays you for looking at it.
They pay you for looking at it.
I only have two more to do. Should I do them?
No.
Yeah. No. I'm going to wait because I want to talk to Matthew.
Me too.
It's been a minute, right? Okay. Hang on. Let me hit my button. Pre-search.com. Okay. We switch from
talking about maple.
How can you not? Listen, we're going to go from maple leaves to hemp leaves. And there's a lot to this. And so may or may not be very presidential looking, quite handsome, Matthew Harmon. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Can I say something about the maple? I mean,
yeah.
I love the maple syrup is more than breakfast. I mean, I'd love a cocktail with maple syrup. So, I mean, just there's so many. Oh. It just opens up a whole lot. It just changes everything.
Vanessa's maple down for that, by the way. I think maybe bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're already making a lot of sense here, Matthew.
Yeah.
Our friend, the Bourbon Bohemian, maybe we should grab her and
Ramona Jackson. She's so good. She makes custom cocktail kits and ships them out every month to subscribers. So all the little ingredients and the different syrups that she makes and stuff like that come out, and she recommends what alcohol you should mix them with. So yeah, it could be great.
And speaking about recommendations, I wanted to learn maybe, just off the cuff, how could a fella make $1 billion from hemp? That seems like a pretty big opportunity.
When you think about it, it's a lot of the people are right now just thinking about CBD. They're thinking about marijuana. But the reality of this plant is it's so much more. And that's what sort of attracted me to this, to the subject matter in some form and fashion. We're talking car parts, plastics, paper, replacing or supplementing industries that are already tens of billions of dollars. So the opportunity for an entrepreneur to dive into this industry and seek out a goal of $1 billion is easily achievable. As time goes on, I mean, we're at the sort of ground floor stage of what the opportunities exist. I liken it to the internet.
It feels like that in a lot of ways. I mean, especially when people are quick to make fun of it because in their head, like you said, they think CBD, THC, have a nice day. But to your point, there's a lot of people who are worried about things like plastic waste, first use plastic. Mattel just announced that they're going to have their toys. They're going to have kind of like a catch and release program where you send the toys back to Mattel. So there's a lot of people really thinking about this, Matthew, but not thinking enough about it. And so your point is, man, this is a real early industry that people should and could be getting involved in. What's your involvement beyond writing the book, if you could talk about that? Are you already making plays in that space?
I've gotten asked that question before. I have no plays in this industry. I look at it and I think I see most of the stuff, how do I say this respectfully, is low-hanging fruit. Everything right. that's out there right now is low-hanging fruit, essentially. And the real opportunities are down the road. We're just getting started with it. Hemp was decriminalized in 2018 with H.R. 2, the Farm Bill. And so it's changed the landscape and opportunities for this plant tremendously.
I feel like I don't know nearly enough of the other use cases, and I bet you know six or so off the top of your head. So I think of it as anywhere that I can think of using plastic, though, like plastic chairs or plastic trays or shipping product, stuff or whatnot.
There's a lot of ways. Make rope out of it and stuff.
They make rope out of it. Sure. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about, I've got some examples here and hopefully you've got your rope. You got your ropes. I don't know. Hopefully it's clear enough, but you got your ropes. We're talking about an industry this is historic. I mean, this was a national security product in the colonial period. I mean, rope was everything on ships. It was the number two commodity in shipbuilding during the colonial period. And then when you talk about plastics and bioplastic, we'll show and tell. It's not a backpack, and I'm sorry about that. It's a briefcase made out of hemp. So not only is this a briefcase that can be used that's hard and sturdy, but it's also something like Mercedes-Benz is using this to make interior door panels, you know, instead of carbon fiber. And so Henry Ford built a car, you know, and that's the history of it. This is what really sort of turned me onto this. He built a car out of this product, you know, prior to the criminalization of this product of cannabis. And right. It was built out of stuff like this, heavy duty resins and hemp fibers.
As the hemp historian, I've read somewhere that Betsy Ross had put some hemp in her flag that she made. And then I read somewhere else that's just baloney. Any, can you weigh in on that at all?
Yeah. So doing the book, I did a tremendous amount of research, and there's a lot of people that are invested in this and have sort of created a lot of facts, some true, some not true, like Thomas Jefferson smoking marijuana on his porch, smoking hemp. Not exactly. There's no evidence to support any of that. It's, you know, it's not primarily the reason they were growing hemp back in the colonial period. As far as Betsy Ross's flag, I couldn't find any facts to substantiate that, but it's not impractical. I'll give you another story that's super relevant. Levi's jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And this might be something you heard, but Levi's jeans, the Levi's factory and all of their historical records burned down at some point. I don't have that date. And so there's no history of it. But what they do know for sure is he used sails from ships to make the first Levi's jeans. And all those sails were most likely made from industrial hemp. You know, it's the strongest natural fiber.
So when the factory burned down, they're like, hey, man, we all feel pretty good.
I've heard that one, too.
Let's do this again.
Well, I have a point to make about that, which is, you know, we like to joke because that's the way our show works. We're essentially children. But that's a problem with that, though, right? Because part of what you're trying to say is this is a really serious, very important kind of industry. You have to wade through so many pot jokes, I imagine. Does that make it even trickier for you?
Well, yeah, you know, I've had my own experiences with it. I mean, you know, I grew up thinking that, you know, marijuana killed people, you know,
right.
That was my understanding of it. And so, you know, from, you know, DEA advertisements, public service commercials, I thought marijuana right. killed people. When I learned that it didn't, I was like, oh my gosh, I sort of feel like I've been taken advantage of. So I started researching it, and marijuana doesn't kill anybody.
Well, so besides this book, which they absolutely need to pick up, so, you know, The Marijuana Hater's Guide to Making $1 billion from Hemp, which I'm buying. Is this out or is this coming out? What's the deal?
It's out. It was released April 20th. That was purely coincidence.
Get out.
Yeah, April 20th. I thought, okay, well, that's sort of a
coincidence.
That's a realistic date. It was meant to be.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, I'm buying it. We have a couple questions from the audience, so I'm going to buy it, and Carrie can look those up while I'm purchasing.
So what's your favorite hemp product that you use?
You know, I use a hemp shampoo that I enjoy, and so it's an organic brand with hemp oil in it. I don't know the name of it. I should have the name of it off the top of my head, but I use the other one I like with hemp oil, everybody will recognize, is Dr. Bronner's soap. Dr. Bronner's soap, you know, I got one of these here. I don't know if you can actually display that, but his soap has hemp oil. Was that up long enough? I don't want to Dr. Bronner's soap, you pick it up Whole Foods. It's available, you know, they don't sell it at Walmart, but there's a lot of other stores they sell it at. It's commercially available in a lot of retail locations. And it's got hemp oil. I love the soap. It's natural. It's organic. I mean, that's a big thing. Finding things that are sustainable, renewable, and that are good for you and that are natural and organic.
Coach Woodard had said, my son is looking into selling hemp ground cover for landscaping projects. So it's like an observation. And then Kate's wondering, what got you involved in this industry? Sounded like the history of it, right? Like was...
Well, you know, I had lunch with a friend one day, and, you know, California was changing all these laws and decriminalizing hemp or marijuana, and I didn't understand it, and it didn't make any sense. And I was talking to him about it, and he said, you know, marijuana, it doesn't kill anybody. And I said, it has to kill people. They don't invest tens of billions of dollars into making something illegal if it doesn't kill people. It has to kill people. So from there, I got this sort of thing that I have to understand what's going on here. So I started researching it. And when it came down to it, there's this history. When I bridged marijuana and hemp, it's kind of got just an unbelievable history.
It's one of those things I think about. So Elon Musk was just on Saturday Night Live last Saturday, and he made fun of himself for the fact that when he smoked pot on the Joe Rogan show, that like superseded anything else he had been doing at the time, and it became the biggest piece of the news and all that. And it just was such a big to-do. I think about that, like when you're talking about hemp as a business, like it just seems like people can't get their, they can't let their head get to the part that's going to be much more important. Like they can't get to the part where this is a material thing. So Kip had asked the question, what are the most applicable material science applications for hemp? Can you speak to that at all?
Material sciences? Well, you've got the composite materials. You have paper. I mean, I've got a paper example here, and this is hemp paper. And so, and then you've got...
We want to see it. Sorry.
Sorry. Now, this paper, I actually ordered hemp and made it myself just so I'd have it.
Oh, cool. It looks like papyrus almost.
Yeah, no, it's paper. And doesn't feel like papyrus. Papyrus is made from a different organic leaf. And 40 copies of the Gutenberg Bible are in hemp paper. Historically, Gutenberg took remnant clothing, which was primarily hemp-based, and made his own paper from hemp, and he also made it from vellum and then animal skin and things like that, in the late 1400s for the Gutenberg Bible. You've also got textiles. There's a company out of Southern California that imports. China's the largest producer of hemp in the world at the moment. And so you've got textiles that range anywhere from, you know, fabrics that are nearly silk-like. I don't know. I try to, you know, all the way to jeans, what you would have found your Levi's that would have been stained flat ship sails, you know, varieties of different colors, you know. So the technology today to turn hemp into fine fabrics is spectacular. So there's numerous, from plastics to paper, to animal bedding. And then the biggest one that I think is going to be very profound for this is energy, electricity, using the woody core to make biomass, you know, to grow it, and biomass material that can be burned to generate electricity.
Got it. So like akin to things like the pellet stove or stoves that like burn corn and all that sort of thing, right?
Exactly.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
I keep watching Marie and Vanessa backstage nodding their heads like, yeah, duh. Like, you know, because tribal nations is like, what do you, yeah, we know. But it's just not that way legally for a long time. Can you talk just a tiny bit about that? Can you talk a little bit about the pre and post it's illegal phase? And what's it going to take for someone to spin up a hemp business? Like Matthew, you've sold me. I'm ready to do this now. What do I got to do? I'm going to start a hemp clothing line, I guess. Like how do I get my raw material? Do I just buy from China, or can I just throw, like, I'm just going to go up to Passamaquoddy and say, can I have a couple acres, guys? And they'll say, sure. You seem nice.
You could do either. You could do either of those. Right now, China's producing industrial textiles, you know, like the simp-like fabrics, like the fabrics made from hemp that are silk-like. You could get the fabrics all the way up to growing it. If you wanted to grow it, you could grow it. You'd have to look, you know, right now we have a landscape in the United States, and this is sort of where the real ground floor opportunity is. If you're looking where, you know, you have cities, counties, states, each having their own individual laws associated to this, to cannabis. And as they open up the floodgates for industrial hemp to be grown, you can grow it, whether it's on tribal land or not. And then ultimately, there's manufacturing and refinery facilities that are being set up in the United States where it can be processed. There are companies like, I think it's the North Face and Patagonia, that are basically looking for suppliers to provide them fabrics and raw materials in order to produce clothing. And so there's numerous ways, all the way from setting up what do they call it, like an Amazon, I forget the acronym, but one of those Amazon businesses, you can order up those things almost from your bedroom and do, and with a sewing machine, manufacture your own clothing in the next, in the living room.
It's kind of crazy. It's crazy that it's about, it's around and out there. And then I think it's nuts that the whole country was sort of made to turn its back from it, like from a clothing thing. I mean, what was the campaign like to say cotton? Now there's a product, like it's probably not even technically superior, is it? You've done the work. I don't know. Maybe you know something about that. Cotton versus hemp.
Yeah. Well, we all learned in grade school about Eli Whitney and the cotton gin in 1793. Right. And so, you know, that sort of revolutionized the textile industry, which was a major industry. Part of the Civil War was over the textile industry. So when you get into some of these things, it's cotton is a small fiber. Hemp is a long fiber. So as far as it really comes down to the resources it takes to take these crops and turn them into goods. With Eli Whitney beat everything to the punch with the cotton gin, basically propelling cotton to be the king of textiles. When the cotton, you know, that was a cotton gin. And then you had the decortication machine that changed the environment for hemp. And when that took place, well, that's when the sabotage, that sort of great, I'll call it like, I think it's the biggest sabotage in the world. I mean, it's Anslinger had a campaign. He was the commissioner of the Department of Narcotics. And there's numerous theories that surround the criminalization of cannabis. There's no real smoking gun to why it happened. Some think it was William Randolph Hearst in paper. You know, I kind of think that Andrew Mellon, who was the, should I say this on air, the Treasury Secretary at the time, created the Department of Narcotics, you know, sort of to round up these things. But what he did was, is he consolidated everything. When you had Eli Lilly making cannabis tinctures in the early 1900s, they now needed to get licensed. And the big push was for opioids, because they could synthesize opioids and they couldn't synthesize cannabis. So right. It took this sort of turn.
Took the power out of a plant that was just growing pretty easily in the bushes, and then made it in the hands of a few who could capitalize on that. It's a very interesting history, and it is so worth checking out. You've got to look at this guide. I'm going to put the book up one more time on the screen just so you take a look at it. Making $1 billion from hemp. I just bought it while we were talking, so thank you. I can't tell you anything about it yet, but I'm sure it's great. Matthew Harmon, stick around. We're going to put our Marie and Vanessa into a panel. And we have to read two more things. So ladies, you're back here live, but let me read two more ads to our entertainment. Hey, need to know a little bit about cryptocurrency? You can. Go to askdrbitcoin.substack.com. He just put out a new issue today. So if you go to askdrbitcoin.substack.com, Mark Risen Hopkins, famous journalist in my world anyway. He was a tech journalist around all the things that I thought were interesting. He is talking about those cryptos. Hey, want to go back to school? I mean, who doesn't want to? Well, what if you can learn to learn again? PulverEDU.com. My buddy Jeff Pulver with his own Jeff Coin, he is selling courses. You just have to go to one course at a time whenever you want. They only cost 7 Jeff Coins a class.
You pay That's in right. Jeff Coins?
You pay in Jeff Coins. Upper left corner. Right there. You could pay. Pulver, that's the Pulver Purple. He has his own Pantone color. That is it.
Shut up.
PulverEDU.com. Pulver Purple is a Pantone color registered.
Wow.
Because he's that extra. So there you go. PulverEDU, get some Jeff Coins in there. You're done.
You know your color is going to be yellow, right?
Yellow for my yellow card?
For your yellow shirt.
Marie Vanessa. Because of my yellow shirt. That shirt was probably white. you just listened to a hemp historian talk to you about the history of that. I'm pretty sure the Passamaquoddy tribe knows nothing about that sort of thing.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
you're back with us. What do you think about that? Anything you want to add?
No, they're maple people.
Yeah.
You care about hemp. You don't mix those trees. You know, there's been rumbles, Chris.
Listen, in Maine, isn't it?
Between the maple people and the hemp people.
Resident, isn't it true? I could have my own cannabis plant per resident or something. I thought that was a law.
The laws are different all over the place, but mm-hmm. as far as maple syrup, you got everybody infusing honey with cannabis in some form and fashion, from CBDs to oils and the tinctures. You know, there's an opportunity for maple syrup as well. I mean, you know, people blending that in the leaves. You know, in Slovenia, when I was traveling there, what was very prized was making a tea from some of the flowers. Non-psychoactive. It's not all psychoactive. CBDs right. are not psychoactive.
I feel like there's too much bad blood. There's the maple people on one side and the hemp people on the other, and they just are never going to get along. It's like, Gwen, you're a hemp all the way. That's it. But, you know, we can hope hemp-infused maple syrup.
Maine is legalized. Yeah,
recreational use.
Recreational use, so.
And personal growth is what I heard. So.
Yes. Yep.
None of your neighbors have to go hide their plants in your field anymore. Don't we all have that one friend or relative who's growing in someone else's rhubarb or something?
Many.
Well, the tomato plants.
There was an ex-boyfriend of mine. I found my brother's seeds. He had some seeds. This is so long ago. He can't get in trouble anymore. But he had some seeds in like a cassette thing. And I went and threw them under my ex-boyfriend's window. And so like months later, when I'd forgotten all about it, he got in big trouble for growing it.
Woody Harrelson almost went to jail for that.
It was great. I had plausible deniability. I was like, wow, geez. Like, I really forgot.
But, you know, I've done some research on the hemp and to see how far they're taking it now into the textiles and the different uses for it. You know, the rope has always been the biggest one from, you know, centuries.
For centuries.
And to see, you know, to be moving into the textiles and to the clothing, it's another sustainable, renewable resource.
Well, the other materials are so important too. The, you know, my example here, I mean, this is spectacular.
That Golden did parts. Impress me.
We're talking cars, airplanes, the whole nine yards.
That's so interesting. Yes. And obviously it's got to be really strong stuff if they're using it in car doors.
Very strong. Yeah.
I'm curious if it has any level of, you must be able to make it waterproof or water resistant, because then you can make a hemp canoe. I mean, that would be a pretty useful little product. I mean, it looks thin. It looks lightweight. I mean, is it lightweight?
Yeah.
I was going to say, is it comparable to carbon fiber? Oh, wow.
It's comparable to carbon fiber. I believe carbon fiber is slightly stronger, but immensely more expensive.
All right. So I won't make my bulletproof vest out of hemp.
Got it? You know, that kind of made me think about my nephew. He bow hunts and he's always getting the carbon fiber
arrows.
So, I mean, that's even another market to hit up, really.
Yeah.
There you go. 3D printed hemp, says Elizabeth. Now we're talking. That would make sense because the hemp is in a pulp, right? So you could... Yeah. It's a pretty thick, long fiber, as you pointed out. So it might be a special kind of pump. But that's
also thinking about 3D printing of hemp products already exists. You can make cups, plates, any number of things. Because what happens is it's not just that. It's the oil from the seeds. The seeds are just, when you're growing an acre of hemp, and hemp is not grown like what you're thinking, marijuana or CBD. It's much different. And it's in the book, A Marijuana Hater's Guide to Making $1 billion from Hemp. But the seeds produce oil. The oil then can be, you know, one of the most amazing facts about hemp is the auto company, Rudolf Diesel. And the diesel engine that exists today was designed to be made from grown fuels grown. For instance, hemp was one of those seeds where there's an abundance of oils. You can buy hemp oil at Whole Foods. That oil can then be turned into biofuels and then as well as made into molded parts, which you can use for and pelletize to make 3D printing products.
Yeah. So I just found an example of that on the old tube of you. And so evidently there's people doing it already. This is somebody getting hemp filament. It's just sold on a reel like this. I'll zip it forward just a tiny bit. But as you see there, it's starting to do the print right there. It's laying out its bead of hemp. And as you can see it, like even from that zoom in, it's a little bit fibrous. Like it doesn't, you wouldn't make anything super soft with it. He of course makes a pot leaf because Oops, let me go back just a tiny bit. He makes a little pot.
Oh, cookie. I see.
Why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. But it's also showing off just the intense strength of the product as well, because when that thing finally settles in, it's going to be pretty unbreakable. Anyway, that was interesting. All the leaves, we maple, we do hemp. It's all there. We have two more things to do, and then we are going to end our show for the day. But let me tell you what we got coming up. We've got...
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Gee, I don't know. I think I'm going to give it to our pal Carol, who came from Montreal to learn about the fact that Passamaquoddy Maple is sending stuff up to Quebec. That's a rivalry moment in my head.
We need a blind taste test, though. Carol cannot be objective, I feel like. She will try to be, but I think her passions will overwhelm her.
She might have to vote on Quebec if she doesn't know which is which.
I think so.
All right. So we ask one question of every guest who's ever been on the show. Everybody from Sir Mix-a-Lot to Sister Anne Flanagan of the Daughters of St. Paul. We ask the question, what goes in your backpack? This could be something physical. It could be something metaphorical. Carrie, what's a great example of something physical you could throw in a backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth. Who knows when you're going to need them?
DJ Cummerbund put that in the backpack.
He'll be on the show tomorrow, by the way, coming back for the attack. What's something metaphorical we could throw in a backpack?
Kindness, maybe?
That's a good one. I like kindness.
You always need kindness.
Who would have said something like that? Marie and Vanessa Harnois, what goes in the backpack?
For me, it's perseverance. Starting a company from the ground up, I've had to learn so many different ways. If something's not going to work, then I need to find a way around it. So it was perseverance, the dedication to starting this project from the ground up to where it is now. And a lot of times not taking no for an answer.
I'll take it.
Vanessa, is that how she always is?
Yes. She does not like to hear no, which is always worked out in the end for her.
What goes in your backpack, Vanessa? Because you get your own item. We'll allow it this time.
I like how you said kindness. Mine's always just bringing good into the world, because this world is crazy right now. So just being good and kind and helping and building with her, that definitely goes in my backpack.
I will say, when our customers, our wholesalers, call and they deal with Vanessa, we get a lot of feedback, and we're always trying to keep in touch with our customers. One of the things that I hear a lot is how much they enjoy talking with her, whether it be, you know, them trying to place an order, and the time she takes to deal and to work with the customer to make them happy. So that's definitely her.
Yes, I've made many friends. Even through when they order, they leave me notes too, and I respond. Oh, that's nice.
Matthew Harmon, what is going to go in your backpack today, good sir?
It's a hemp backpack, right? Made from hemp.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got to be a hemp backpack. I'd have a DOP kit, a clean shirt, socks and underwear, and a Swiss Army knife.
And maybe some maple sugar.
One thing, Matthew, you get one.
The cocktail kit. I'm sorry.
You get one, so you're going to go commando, but take that Swiss Army knife is my guess.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Well, being born and raised, my grandmother used to take us around to lots of places for field trips. My parents would drive us and my grandparents would go with, and we'd go look for delicious things to eat and places to go. I have been up to that area near Jackman once, and I'll tell you, we stopped at the weirdest little place to eat. Maybe you even know where this is.